Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
Pastor Kurt and I often follow the lectionary, which is a three-year cycle of texts designed by Protestant churches so that no matter where you go in the world on any particular Sunday, if the church is following the lectionary, you will be worshiping through the same texts as your church back home or with Christians all over the world. One of the challenges is that Kurt and I don't always use the lectionary. So we'll use it in the high holy seasons, but then we'll work through worship services and series. And as we come to this season, I realize that we have actually worked through the baptism of Jesus probably three times in the last 8 months. But it's a great way for me to offer kind of a lived metaphor that it was important that God spoke to the people who wrote these words, but it's much more important that the Holy Spirit is at work to enter the wilderness. Perhaps he doesn't know that he's preparing to enter the wilderness. Perhaps he doesn't even know he's going to be baptized today, but he hears God's voice, something calling him to say, John, baptize me. In those days, Mark chapter 1, verse 9, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. And then the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts. And the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. This is the gift of Holy Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Learning to hear God's whisper. That's what the season of Lent is all about. Learning to recognize the voice of God that's always there, always with us. But there are so many other voices, so many other noises that crowd out the voice of God. So the season of Lent, we work on our spiritual disciplines. We work on developing our hearing so that we can hear God's whisper. And this takes tremendous effort. Malcolm Gladwell is an author who has really transformed the way corporate America thinks and works. Each one of his books, an instant bestseller, teaching corporations how to hear, how to think, how to see differently. He coined the phrase tipping point in his book, Good to Great. And for decades, people have talked about where in my work is the tipping point and how does my organization go from good to great. In his book, The Outliers, he awakened us to the perspective that even the most gifted and talented people, those gifts and talents aren't enough. The greatest athletes in the world, the greatest musicians in the world, will just be another musician or another athlete unless they put in the time. He says 10,000 hours is the minimum. 10,000 hours just to pay the entry price. To be an Olympic athlete, to be a professional musician, to be a professional athlete, to hear the voice of God. 10,000 hours. Over the course of the last decade, I was trying to do the math this week, and I don't do math very well, so I haven't put 10,000 hours into math, but I think I put in something like 12,000 hours of developing my relationship with God over the past 10 years, and I'm learning to hear that whisper very clearly. And as I was worshiping for Christmas Eve, 5 o'clock service, we worshiped in the sanctuary, I received a powerful metaphor, a powerful analogy of what this is like. We had our band here. Garrett and Gloria were playing the bass. I think, Garrett, you were on the stand-up bass, and Gloria was on the cello. We had the choir. It was a compilation of all our musicians, and it was incredible. 400 people in the congregation, largest service of the year, and there's this incredible, beautiful music. I heard the music. My son Ryan, who is a musician himself, is out in the congregation sitting next to my wife, and he looks over at Brenda and he says, "Oh, that was so cool." And Brenda said, "What?" "Garrett and Gloria just traded the bass line. How'd they do that?" And afterwards, Ryan walks up to Gloria and says, "I loved how you two just traded the bass line. That was so cool." And Gloria said something along the lines of, "Yeah, we've worked together so much and we could feel where the music was going. I just looked at Garrett, he nodded, and we just traded the bass line," or something along those lines. Of the 400 people that were there, I bet there's a handful of people that heard what Ryan heard. People who have spent the 10,000 hours training their ears. As I'm reading the scripture for this worship series, I heard voices. 3 distinct voices in the scripture text. And what's interesting is we're not sure. We just make assumptions on some of those voices. A voice comes from the heavens. Well, all my life, I just read that scripture and I heard God speaks to Jesus. Now, it probably is God speaking to Jesus, but the Bible doesn't say specifically that. But Jesus hears this voice and knows who that voice is. Why? Because Jesus has trained tens of thousands of hours learning the voice of God. He knows who's speaking to him from the heavens. And the second voice, 40 days of tempting, the tempter, the accuser, Satan, challenging Jesus. Now, this is a voice every single one of us knows oh so well. Did God really say you have to give that up for Lent? Are you really going to die if you eat that apple? Oh, come on, just one little bite. Really, seriously, chocolate. How is that going to make any difference? Oh, we've heard that voice in so many powerful ways. And then the third voice, the voice of Jesus. Jesus calling to us, all of us, the kingdom of God is at hand. And throughout the Gospels, what that means is the kingdom of God is here. Jesus very clearly says, "If I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of heaven has come upon you." The kingdom of heaven is here. How do we learn to see that? How do we learn to hear God's voice in the midst of this mess? We practice and we train and we go into the wilderness, taking one step into the unknown after the other. And what God tells us through the prophets is that there is a specific fast that God would like us to offer. Over and over again, I'm going to read to you from Isaiah 58, but you can find this in almost every one of the prophets. "Is not this the fast that I choose? To loosen the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke that the world puts on your shoulders? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom like the noonday sun." Jesus came to participate with us in the kingdom of God that's here, and we participate by doing what the prophets have said from day one. then the Lord will guide you continually. Guide us in participating, and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a well-watered garden, like springs of water whose waters never fail. We are called into the wilderness to do the work that Jesus came to show us how to do. We are called to reach out into broken lives and touch those lives so that hopefully the children don't grow up into people filled with anger and rage. We are called to reach out into the community and do whatever we can to touch lives. Because only God knows how many millions of lives we will touch by changing one human being's life. Imagine the millions and billions of lives that have been born since Jesus spoke, since the Apostle Paul preached. 2,000 years from now, how many more billions of lives will be changed because of the spiritual heart of Bentonville and the people that have gone out and touched lives and didn't fast from something, but fasted for someone. St. Ignatius of Loyola in the 1500s was a man who led monasteries. He developed a whole series of monasteries. And in the work that he did in transforming lives, teaching people how to hear the voice of God, he had many years, many decades of practice in learning what was effective. And he wrote in 1548, published very soon after the printing press was first made available, his rules, the rules of St. Benedict, are now the rules that many people, many millions of people follow to guide their life. One of the prayers that's most powerful, the daily examine, is a prayer that we will be exploring. There's 5 points to the daily examine. And each week through Lent, we will be working through these points beginning next week. I encourage you to Google search the daily examine, and you will find plenty of descriptions of what this prayer is like. First, become aware of God's presence. Sit quietly and realize that God is with you. Review the day with gratitude. Pay attention to your emotions. Choose one feature of the day and pray from it. And look forward to tomorrow, because tomorrow you will be with God as well.
For me, we were talking about prayer and learning to listen to God. It's kind of that half of prayer. I think most everybody gets, you know, talking to God. We tend to talk more than we tend to listen. I think that's in pretty much all walks of our life, right? We look around at the world today, and I think we could all do with a bit more listening. But learning to listen to God, I think, is one of the keys. Learning how to find our way and learning to hear the languages of God, it really is a journey, I found. A few years ago, my wife Casey and I, we had the joy of working with a good friend, a mentor, life coach, and Methodist minister named Reverend Jeffrey Baines. Jeffrey, he spends his life working one-on-one with people, helping them not only to discover their strengths and their passions, but how to move forward in living those things out. Jeffrey helped me to discover a lot about myself that I kind of already knew, but I didn't really know what to do with. Like, I knew that I had a wanderlust, but I didn't really know there might actually be something deeper and far more profound about that desire hidden within me. I love to travel, especially with Casey. My parents are actually here in town this week, and they'll be at the second service, so I'll call them out then. But they can attest to the fact I absolutely love to travel. I've been doing it as much as I can, as often as I can, since as early as they would let me go without them. I absolutely love traveling. So whether it's traipsing around the Mediterranean coast, whether it's hiking and hill walking in my very favorite place, Scotland, soaking up the sun in the Gulf of Mexico, or something a bit simpler, like riding my bike out to Pea Ridge, going on a hike on one of the many beautiful trails in our community, or just going for a jog in my own neighborhood. See, it's not really about the destination, I found, though to be fair, hiking in Scotland does help. A lot, for that matter, if you've ever been. If you haven't been, go. I recommend it. But I just love the journey. I need it. I crave it. Pastor Jeffrey helped me to see that journeying for me is far more than simply the enjoyment of travel. Journeying, no matter how big or how small, is how I listen to the voice of God. Now, Jeffrey helped me to know myself in a different way. I don't think we understand how important of a piece of the puzzle that is, knowing your passions, your gifts, your strengths, knowing your why for doing things and for being, discovering that. It's so important. It changes everything. Once upon a time, prayer for me was just a task. It was a box that I had to check in order to be a good Christian, whatever that is. Prayer is now just a natural part of my life. It's just part of who I am. It comes as naturally as breathing. Okay, maybe not. Maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration. But whether around the block, whether it's just taking time to walk, to journey, to travel, around the block or around the world, as long as I take that time to pause that I so desperately need, I find that time that I can listen to God. The opportunity to just sit in silence and to listen, whatever that is, to listen to that inner voice that's calling out to me. Now, I'll admit, for everybody listening, might take on a different shape. It most likely will be something different for all of us. Talking to and listening to the voice of God may look like me. You might like journeying. You might like, it took me a long time when I got back to the States, because I worked with Pastor Jeffrey when we were living in Scotland. It took me a while to figure out what journeying looked like here, because there you could go walk up a hill, 5 minutes from wherever you lived. There was so many beautiful places to just go wander. Here it took me a while, but fortunately I met the Rampies and discovered the joy of triathlons and running and biking and hiking when I can has now taken that form. It's now that journeying for me. So, but it probably looks different for everybody else. Journeying might not be how you listen to God. Eric likes to go running. That's when he likes to pray and work on his sermons. Maybe it's yoga. Maybe it's meditation. Maybe it's getting up early before the rest of your house and sipping a cup of coffee in the quiet with scripture or a good book. We're all so incredibly different from one another. We learn and experience the world in vastly different ways. So equally, we experience God in an infinite number of ways. Back in college, I started out as an education major. I got out of that pretty quickly, because of the amount of bureaucracy that was involved. So for those that are teachers, I applaud you. I have no idea how you put up with it. I took about 1 year of just studying about it and said, no, I'm out. But in that short time, I did take away one important, really important lesson, I felt like. At the time, I know we had identified at least 7 major forms or patterns of intelligence. In other words, different ways that humans learn and experience the world around us. So the same is true, I find, in the way that we connect with the divine. Your journey is not going to look the same as mine or anyone else's. Your prayer life won't look the same either. It takes knowing yourself. It takes time. It takes effort. But I can tell you that it is so worth it. Before learning for myself that journeying was how I could listen, was how I could stop, was how I could truly pause, was the way that I for sure connected to God, before figuring that out, prayer was a task, and I didn't like it. It was just something I had to do, and I never got it, and I never understood it. But once I discovered that just going on a walk, not putting the iPod in, but just going on a walk and just listening to the air around me, it allowed me to shut everything else out and sit and listen to God. It changed everything. One last thing. I've discovered that God is far bigger than I ever imagined. And that might seem like a silly statement. But the more that I get to know God, the more I feel like I go further into my relationship with God. The bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger God gets. The more I know, the breath of life, the love, spirit, the more I realize how little I know. God is continually expanding, and I rest assured in that knowledge. God is big enough to handle whatever I have to offer. I don't feel like we say that enough. God is big enough to handle whatever you have to offer. If you're overwhelmed and filled with gratitude for the beauty of life and love itself, then let your praises ring. If you're angry, distraught with fear or pain, if you need to curse or scream, go ahead. Let it out. God can take it. You're not going to offend God by cursing. It's not going to happen. He can handle whatever you have to throw. Take the time. Take the effort to discover for yourself how to listen for the still, quiet voice that is calling out to each and every one of us and saying that you are loved. You are loved. You are loved. Find that voice. Go and listen. It is unbelievable how much it will change your life. It's continuing to shape me every day.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.